It's time, Fort Wayne. Your sports, your station. It's the Sports Rush with Brett Rump. Covering all the topics that hit a nerve here in the Summit City.
Clark, 11-yard touchdown.
Only on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Now, here's your host, Brett Rump.
The greatest, most interesting, most important person of all time.
You are incredible.
Listen to me. Older than one.
Yeah, well, you're half right.
What is this, amateur hour?
This is going to be huge.
I think this is going to be our finest hour.
Just when I think you said the stupidest thing ever, you keep talking.
I think that's the worst thing I've ever heard.
That boy ain't right.
The simplest way to put it, I have problems.
Welcome to the alleged show.
Y'all ready for this?
Thank God it's
Friday. It's Friday, Friday. Gotta get down on Friday.
Time to put the work away. Head into a sports weekend. Here we go with the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump along with Adam Lundy, our producer. Big show up until 6 o'clock. We've got Tim Newton, play-by-play voice for the Purdue Boilermakers, as they'll go for a Big Ten championship against the Michigan Wolverines. Purdue kind of trying to play spoiler in their own conference. Also on the way, we'll talk to Dylan Sin and a special guest coming up in about 15 minutes. It's Horizon League Commissioner Julie Rowe Latch. She is going to join us to talk all things Horizon League, which means expansion, question mark. You know, the league lost UIC a year ago, and so now you've got an odd number of teams. It makes travel a little more of a headache. Southern Indiana, who joined Division I, didn't choose to join the Horizon League. Not sure that there was an offer. I'm assuming there might have been, but we'll talk to the commissioner about that. We'll talk about last night's big event at the Coliseum, and also championship tickets going on sale. And what's the future of the Horizon League championship? We'll talk about it all with Julie Rowe Latch, Horizon League commissioner, coming up in about 15 minutes. Last night, speaking of the Horizon League, the Mastodons opened their conference schedule, falling to Detroit Mercy. Now, all is not lost, because last year the Mastodons also lost their Horizon League opener and ended up coming back and winning the regular season championship. But it was a strange night in the Horizon League. You had Youngstown State, Northern Kentucky going, I believe, double overtime. You had Wright State absolutely walloped at home by Robert Morris. And here at the Coliseum, the Mastodons fall to Detroit Mercy, a game where the Dons started horribly. They were down 18-5 about 5 or 6 minutes into the game. And they were down by 14 early in the second half, came all the way back, took the lead. And then Antoine Davis happened. Antoine Davis kind of took over and hit three threes at crunch time. And the three threes not only propelled Detroit to the win over the Mastodons, but it also made Antoine Davis the all-time career high scorer in Horizon League history. Alfredric Hughes. Nobody knows that name except me.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, a real household name.
Going to Valpo back in the day. So Alfredric Hughes was the player that held that record since the mid-80s. And last night, Antoine Davis, former IU coach Mike Davis's son, broke the record. He ended up, in fact, it looked like for a long time that the commissioner came to town for nothing, because it almost was like, well, I think the commissioner is going to have to go to Cleveland now and follow Detroit on to Cleveland State if she's going to be there for the celebration of him breaking the record, because Antoine Davis averages about 24 points per game. And last night, the Dons held him in check, 11 points with about 5 or 6 minutes left, and then he just broke loose. What did he end up with, 23? He ended up pretty much with his average. But he was very inefficient, 24 shots, made 8. So he shot 33% for the field, but he did hit 5 of 11 from 3, even though he started out, I think he was 2 for 7 from 3, and then hit 3 of his last 4, which was the difference in the basketball game. Mastodons fall last night to Detroit. Antoine Davis ended up being presented with the game ball after the game was over by the commissioner. And Antoine Davis hung around and he spoke to some people in the crowd, got some congratulations from those that were there in attendance. And I mean, it was a great moment. A lot of hugs between Mike Davis and Antoine Davis. Of course, Antoine Davis had the opportunity to, number one, leave and start playing pro basketball. He had played 4 years at Detroit Mercy. He had the COVID year, so he could have left or could have come back for the extra year due to COVID. And he could have transferred. And he entered the transfer portal and was courted by some other places, but decided he wanted to finish it where he started it with his dad at Detroit Mercy. And so they shared a pretty special moment last night at the Memorial Coliseum. Unfortunately, the Dons were on the wrong end of it. And so the Mastodons, now 4-4 overall, 0-1 in Horizon League play, have a huge game coming up tomorrow on national television on ESPNU. This is the first time in history that the Mastodons will have a home game broadcast on the ESPN family of networks, I guess not including ESPN Plus, but on the actual linear networks. First time ever that the Dons have a home game that's being broadcast nationwide on ESPNU. It'll be played at the Gates Center, 3 o'clock, against the Oakland Golden Grizzlies, who, by the way, got thumped last night by Cleveland State. As Cleveland State won that game 80-64, and so Oakland might be a little chippy coming into the Gates Center tomorrow. So could have a really good one here tomorrow afternoon, and there's still plenty of tickets as of 3 o'clock this afternoon. Still plenty of tickets in the lower bowl, which, my goodness, I don't know if you can even tell the difference between the lower bowl and the upper bowl at the Gates Center, because everything's a lower bowl.
I didn't even know they had an upper bowl.
Well, there's a division between the fancy seats and the bleacher seats.
Gotcha.
And so if you're in the front half, you're in the fancy seats. If you're in the upper half, it's general admission.
And that's no slight at the Gates Center. We love games there. I didn't know they had an upper bowl.
I was just trying to think of the right word or term to divide what is the lower seating section with the upper bleacher section. And the upper bleacher section is general admission. Mm-hmm. So you never really can tell how many general admission tickets have been sold. But if you go to the website, you can actually see each individual ticket that has been sold for the seating section. And about 75% have been sold. So there's still about 25%, which means probably a couple of hundred, 200, 250 seats are still available for tomorrow if you want to sit in the seating section. I think I saw tickets are like 13 and 10, something like that.
Totally worth it.
Cheap, with no parking on top of it.
Yeah, free parking.
And then I think beverages are about $2.
Definitely cheaper than Coliseum.
Yeah, it's a bargain to be able to go see Division I basketball and high level Division I basketball, and even possibly get yourself on TV or be part of the TV broadcast.
Bring a sign.
Cool, bring a sign.
They like filming.
It's not College Game Day, Adam. It's ride the wave. Bring your sign and put ride the wave.
I like it.
That's the term that Coach Kaufman uses for Mastodons basketball. Of course, Three Nation, that would be another sign. Three Nation, which is the Mastodons under Coach Kaufman, have been, I don't know if they're the most prolific three-point shooting team as far as total quantity of threes made, total quantity of threes taken. They do like the three, but here's the thing. A lot of people argue, why do they take so many threes? Well, first of all, they recruit to the three-point shot. In other words, if you can't shoot, you're probably going to have a tough time being part of the Mastodons, because they look for shooters, perimeter shooters, to come in and be part of this program. And last night, they didn't look like it. Not a good night shooting the basketball. From three-point land, the Dons were just 5 of 23. And a big part of that was that three guys who normally are really solid shooters, Jared Godfrey, Damian Shonqui, and Quentin Morton Robertson. I mean, those three are all good shooters that hit about 35 to 40%. Quentin Morton Robertson's been hitting over 50% of his threes this year. And combined, those three were 0 for 11 from three-point last night. Just could not hit anything.
Well, if all goes according to, you know, like Kauffman says, things even out. So hopefully they'll be hitting a lot of threes against Oakland
tomorrow.
Well, they're
playing in their gym that they're shooting at every single day all summer long. So hopefully that helps. And hopefully it helps them take care of the basketball. This has been a real problem. And, you know, eventually you got to play bad cop when it comes to turnovers. And they have turned the ball over way too many times. A lot of times just carelessness, just trying to take off and dribble out of traffic or dribble into traffic or, you know, not being really conscientious with the ball and being a little soft with the basketball. They turned it over 20 times last night, and that was also a big stat in the game. In fact, what was the points off turnovers for Detroit? They got 20 points out of their 75 off turnovers last night. 75-66 was ultimately the final score, although the game was closer than that. Mastodons led, 53-50? It was a three-point lead with about 4 minutes left, and that's when Antoine Davis just went off and hit two long-distance threes, and then I think he added one more three just for good measure to make it a nine-point final. But 75-66 was the final score last night at the Memorial Coliseum. Don's back at it against Oakland. National TV tomorrow at the Gates Center. In fact, speaking of the Gates Center, the women will be playing tonight. They're at the Gates Center. They'll start their Horizon League play against Detroit. News today from Notre Dame football.
Oh, man.
Quarterback Drew Pine has entered the transfer portal and will not play with Notre Dame for their bowl game.
No, he will not.
I don't know who that means. Who will play?
I'm not sure.
Tyler Buckner's not going to be back, right? Is he? Won't he? I don't know who's going to play. Drew Pine is not going to play quarterback for Notre Dame in their bowl game. He is opting to transfer. And apparently it's in response to Notre Dame telling him that they are going to be searching the transfer portal for a quarterback, and they also are going to have competition, which he would go into as basically the third quarterback.
Yeah, it says the next player on the depth chart for Notre Dame is freshman Steve Angeli, who has not thrown a pass this season.
Angeli? I don't know.
Yeah.
Never heard of him.
That's why he hasn't thrown a pass this season.
And the Irish's bowl hopes. Now you wonder, does this affect the bowl game that Notre Dame goes to?
It might. It very well might.
I mean, as far as the selection process of picking your teams and where these teams end up as far as bowl games go, will it affect what Notre Dame gets to play?
Yeah.
Because they're not going to have really much experience at quarterback.
And we've already actually gotten two texts about it to start off the show. I just didn't bring them up yet because we were going to get to
Before
the topic.
Before we even talked about it, they were already weighing in on Drew Pine transferring. What are the texts?
Yeah, Mr. Vegas weighed in on 46862. He said, did you see what Drew Pine did to Notre Dame? I can't believe it. He's screwed Notre Dame, won't play in the bowl game. How do you do that to your teammates? We better get one of those quarterbacks in that portal.
Tough situation for Drew Pine, and I'm not going to take it out on him personally, because if the team has told you that you're not going to be the starter, that an 8-2 record and what he did this year wasn't good enough, and that they're going to go out and look in the portal for a quarterback, plus they're going to have Tyler Buckner healthy, and you're going to be the third man in line, at that point, they're telling Drew Pine you're going to be better off elsewhere. I mean, that's the message pretty much being sent by Notre Dame, especially in today's game where everybody likes to transfer. The fact that he does it now is probably important because the next month is when teams are going to be searching through that portal, trying to make their offers, trying to secure quarterbacks, and probably to get the best opportunity for Drew Pine. And at this point, it does become looking out for myself if the team hasn't got my back. And Notre Dame made the choice. It's not like Notre Dame has said, hey, we may have competition for your job next year. Notre Dame actually said, you're the third man in line because we're going to go to the portal and find somebody, and we're going to have Tyler Buckner, and it's going to be tough for you to play next year.
Yeah, so Marcus Freeman said on the status of Buckner, he said that's still to be determined. This was right before the USC game. He said right now our docs are not 100% sure based on how he progresses, and he also said that he's practicing doing some individual stuff. That's what Marcus Freeman said, but not pads, and this was right before the USC game, so we'll see.
Still have about, 4 weeks, roughly?
Yeah.
before the Irish would play their bowl game. 46862 is the Parkview Sports Medicine text line. 46862. Want to check what's happening in the world of sports and turn it over to Adam Lundy with headlines.
All right, today's top headlines. Christian Pulisic, who suffered a pelvic contusion scoring the winning goal.
Wait, you called it what?
Pelvic? Contusion.
Contusion.
That's what they called it.
Okay. I got a few other names for it.
Well, he said he didn't get hit in the...
Oh, really?
That's what he said. Scoring the winning goal in the one-over match over Iran that sent the USA to the knockout stage of the World Cup has been cleared to play in tomorrow's match against the Netherlands. Kickoff is at 10 a.m. Eastern time. You waking up to watch?
There's part of your pelvic that is not part of that area?
Apparently.
Okay, well, yeah, I might watch.
All right. Los Angeles Rams quarterback Matthew Stafford has cleared the concussion protocol but will not play Sunday against the Seattle Seahawks, Coach Sean McVay said.
He might lose his job. It's not been a great year for Matthew Stafford out in L.A.
And one more for you in the NBA. Boston Celtics big man Al Horford agreed to a two-year, $20 million extension Thursday to remain with the Celtics through the 24-25 season. He's looking for a championship.
I thought when you said in the NBA, we might be getting a New York Knicks story.
Oh, I wouldn't do that to you, Brett.
I did it to you the other night. I joked, what was it, like all of about 3 minutes into the game, the Knicks had a lead on the Milwaukee Bucks. I said, stop the game.
And I said, yes, please do, because
you know what happened.
Oh, yeah, the Knicks lost.
Yeah, Knicks lost. All right, we'll take a break. Coming up, we're going to be talking to Julie Rowe Latch, Horizon League Commissioner, about all types of things Horizon League associated.
This is Mike Nutter, team president of the Fort Wayne Tin Caps. And you're listening to The Sports Rush with Brett Rump on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
Tim Newton, play-by-play broadcaster for the Purdue Boilermakers, is going to be joining us in just about 12 minutes. We're going to talk Purdue versus Michigan, the Big Ten championship game coming up tomorrow night down in Indianapolis. Speaking of Indianapolis, it's also home base for the Horizon League. And we are pleased to be joined on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline by Horizon League Commissioner Julie Rowe Latch. Commissioner, thank you for joining the show.
Absolutely, Brett. It's good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
And it was great to see you last night here at the Coliseum. It wasn't just a visit to say hello to me. It was actually more important than that. Antoine Davis, Detroit Mercy, sets the all-time Horizon League scoring mark. And this is no small feat because that record has stood for a very long time. Pretty special last night.
It was a special night. It was good to see you in person and to be in Fort Wayne. I thought the Mastodon crowd came out in strong fashion for our league opening night, too, which was a good night to be out. But yes, and a great game, too, right? I mean, it came down to the last 5 minutes there after Detroit Mercy had a nice lead. Purdue Fort Wayne came back strong. But Antoine, I think, showed us why he is historic from setting and now owning the league's all-time scoring list, which you're right. It's been in place since 1985. So holy cow.
Well, and I don't want to age myself, but I remember Alfrederick Hughes when he was playing in the Horizon League back in the 80s because I was in college.
Oh, that's great.
So I was covering Valparaiso at the time, and I remember him playing, and he was a prolific scorer. So it's a pretty prestigious record to hold for Antoine Davis, and he's going to add plenty of points to it before this season is over, and maybe an outside chance at making the run at the all-time NCAA scoring mark. Wanted to talk to you about the Horizon League Championships, because even though it's a few months away and there's a lot of people thinking, well, the season's just starting. Why are we talking about how the season's going to be ending? But,
right.
You know, now's the time you want to start thinking about your plans and being a part of the Horizon League Championships this year. Tickets have gone on sale.
Yeah, just as of yesterday, and we've got a special promotion running, so thank you for noting it. But yes, horizonleague.org, you can take it right straight to the championships webpage and it'll link you to our tickets, which it's the early bird is the code for a significant discount off those tickets, which are already very reasonably priced. And we're just so excited. You know, we had our big Horizon League celebration back in September where we announced our four-year extension of the championship here in Indianapolis at the Coliseum. And we had the deputy mayor and the governor there, but more importantly, our student athletes from each of our men's and women's teams, as well as the head coaches. And it was a great day for Horizon League basketball. when the season hadn't even started. The community came out. We've got a local organizing committee here of 35 strong community leaders who have become Horizon League fans. And candidly, I don't know that they were before, but there's something special happening here and some excitement. And we know that our fans and our locales like Fort Wayne share that. And we hope that they already circle those dates on their calendar so they'll come join us in March.
What made Indianapolis a place that you were willing to commit the next 4 years to? What makes Indianapolis and Farmers Coliseum the place that you wanted to host this tournament?
You know, when we set out to seek a new home for our tournament, we were really thinking about two big pieces. One is it's got to be just an incredible student-athlete experience, hands down, for not just the student-athletes, but the coaches and the fans. And to do that, we knew it needed to be a destination city, which Indy is, and it also needed to be a central location in our footprint, which Indy also offers that, because we had a wonderful championship in Detroit, but that wasn't very central, and it was hard for some folks to get to. There's no excuses when it comes to Indy, both as a great place to visit and experience, as well as a very easy place to get to, and then what better sports city, if I'm a little biased, but what better sports city than Indianapolis? And I'll tell you, in 2023, it's a rare year, but there's not going to be any other college basketball championship happening here in Indy. So we're it. And the Big Ten is not going to be here. The NCAA is not going to have a first or second round or regional or Final Four here. This is really going to be an outstanding year for us to, I think, continue to build that equity.
The talking to Horizon League Commissioner Julie Rowe Latch, who is joining us on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. Let's talk about the future of the league, not just with the tournament in Indianapolis, but the league as a whole, because there is a, I don't want to know if we call it a vacancy, but there's an opening after UIC departed the league. And we've seen teams like Southern Indiana and others that maybe would have been somewhat of a fit for the Horizon League, but the league is at 11 right now, and it just seems like that's not an even number. We need 12. What's the future? What is the goal of the league as far as possible expansion to get at least that 12th team?
Sure, you know, and I work closely with our presidents and chancellors on all things membership, retention, transition, and recruitment. And I'll tell you, you know, when I started in the league now 9 years ago, we were 9, and then we grew to 10, and then we grew to 11 with Purdue Fort Wayne. And candidly, our plan was to be an 11 member league when Purdue Fort Wayne joined. And then we had an opportunity with Robert Morse to expand to 12. And it was really about with Purdue Fort Wayne, we were a solid, very strong 10. And frankly, as you referenced the even number, sometimes that's more convenient for scheduling, but it's not all about scheduling. It's about fit and alignment. And we're very clear with any members, potential members that knock on our door, and that happens quite a bit because we are an attractive league. Number one, we're going to prioritize our overall student athlete health and safety as well as the strong Division I experience. And number two, we really prioritize unapologetically basketball excellence. And we've got a strategic plan that has several pillars in place. And if a prospective member wants to really apply to join our league, they've got to show value alignment on that first piece first and foremost, that they are a strong Division I member and that's the experience they're committed to delivering. And two, they prioritize basketball. That's a key priority sport for them. And they're willing to invest as well as support it within and throughout their community. And that's the other pieces we look at, of course, are geography and institutional fit, and that they're graduating student athletes at the same high rate that our members are. But generally most schools do that. It's whether or not they pass those first two key tenets of who we are and what we're about and where we're going.
Is there a geographic boundary as far as how far the Horizon League would go if there was somebody that fit that blueprint?
Well, you know, it's interesting because, of course, Purdue Fort Wayne was right in the middle, and that was it.
Yeah.
Geography made a lot of sense for everyone. Robert Morris pushed us a little more eastern, obviously, by taking us to Pittsburgh. So we have certainly been open to expanding the border, so to speak. I think it really comes down to, as we think about, A, what location are they in? Like with Purdue Fort Wayne, they brought us a Fort Wayne market that's fantastic, the second biggest city in the state of Indiana. And as you know, a growing city with a lot of vibrancy. Robert Morris brought us the Pittsburgh market. So there is an element of not just where they are geography-wise, but then what additional, you know, market exposure does that bring for our current universities, as well as how can we help that prospective member from a market exposure. So there's several pieces to that, but it's not as if we've got a dotted line across the United States, you know, on the map of the United States that we won't go past this. It's really, it's a more holistic examination.
How big of a hurt was it to have UIC out of the Chicago market leave the league?
You know, it's interesting because when, of course, you never want anybody to leave. Breaking up's hard to do, right?
Yeah.
But, and they're a longtime good member. On the other hand, they had really struggled in the basketball space. So on that front, compared to some other departures, it didn't hurt us from a competitive standpoint. But sure, being in that Chicago market is a nice place. I think it's a great experience for our student athletes. But the good news is our schools have made the pivot, and they're playing non-league games in that Chicago market because there's obviously so many schools. So there's still a lot of opportunity for those schools that want to make sure they go there and they have an event there if they want with their donor base. There's still a lot of opportunities to do that in that Chicagoland area.
You know, NIL has kind of taken the forefront of college athletics. It's been talked about quite a bit. What is the role of a commissioner of a conference when it comes to NIL? Is there anything as far as policing, education? Do you see a role in your position with NIL?
Absolutely. And I have taken an active role, and it's not just me. It's our entire league staff with the full support of our presidents and chancellors. Many leagues leave it to each institution to decide what's going to be their philosophy and approach. We have been in constant communication with not just our athletics directors, but our compliance officers and coaches on this. And it was really, I think, a key learning point for me this past spring when we met in person with both our men's basketball coaches, including Coach Kaufman there, obviously, who's a leader in that room, and our women's basketball coaches. And we talked about NIL, what's happening, where are we from both a education standpoint with our student athletes, and how might we better help. And what we learned from there is there's three key pathways here, and we've since have partnered with, and I asked for and got the support from our presidents and chancellors to do this, a league-wide initiative, which frankly is pretty rare. We have a league-wide partnership with Open Doors, and they have a robust platform that delivers major education in NIL. How do you build your brand? Then they have financial literacy education, and these are slick 60-second videos that the student athlete generation wants to watch. But then what I really liked about Open Doors was they also have a marketplace. So all 3,000 of our Horizon League student athletes can go to this marketplace, and there are available deals there. Where it's just almost like they apply if they want to apply for these deal opportunities. So, for instance, I was on one campus, it was at Cleveland State a month or so ago, and Open Doors was doing their in-person educational presentation, which is part of our deal, which I was impressed by. All the student athletes had their phones out, they were signing up, they were registering. Mm. And as Open Doors was showing them the marketplace, they said, and here's an example, it's a $100 deal with Snapchat. And you got to apply, and that's what we're finding is a lot of these NIL opportunities are at the expectation of the student athlete, if they enter into it, is using social media to promote a product because they are a Division I student athlete, and there's some important cachet that comes with that, and that's the point of NIL is allowing them to capitalize on that. So from the Horizon League standpoint, for most of our student athletes, the deals aren't coming to them, so to speak, specifically. That doesn't mean that they can't have those opportunities. So we tried to figure out how can we create a marketplace where those deals are available. There's going to be a little legwork the student athletes are going to have to do, but how can we create that pathway for them? And it's happening. You know, I'm starting to get monthly reports on the deals that are happening and then and what the average amount is. And I just spoke with our board leadership on that. And some of our, like, we're still signing up our schools, so it remains to be seen, was this a success or not? But more to come. And I, right now, I like where we are.
Of course, tomorrow we have ESPN coming into town for an ESPNU broadcast with the Mastodons taking on Oakland. It starts the schedule of the Horizon League on the ESPN family of networks. And what is that contract? Is that something annual? Is that something long-term? What's the status of the television deal with ESPN for the Horizon League?
You know, they've been a long-time partner. I think we're over 25 years now. We've enjoyed a really strong partnership with ESPN for our national exposure. And as you noted, part of that package includes not just I think we deliver now over 700 events. That's not what we're required, but that's what we end up doing to ESPN Plus annually. And then that also includes the linear package, which the first of those of that basketball games will, of course, be at Purdue-Fort Wayne tomorrow, playing host to Oakland. And that that deal, the current deal, is a five-year deal. I think we announced it. I hate to go off the top of my head. I'm going to say we're in year two of this current five-year deal.
Okay.
And then, you know, of course, there's always a look-in window and that opportunity for extension. And it's been a win-win partnership. I would hope that we'll continue that into the future. Because the great thing about ESPN is they have the full complement of platforms. Of course, you know, the traditional cable, but importantly, that digital, because that then allows all of our team sports student athletes to have that exposure.
Absolutely. Commissioner, it's been a pleasure. It's great information, and look forward to seeing you, if not before, at least at the Horizon League Championships. And I look forward to that because I hope I'm there.
But, absolutely.
But I hope plenty of our local fans also are there. Tickets available now.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Yep.
Enjoy tomorrow's game.
Absolutely. Thank you. That is Julie Rowlatch, Horizon League Commissioner, joining us on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. Want to talk some Purdue football. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, we'll have Tim Newton, play-by-play voice of the Boilermakers, joining us.
This is Chris Denary from the Indiana Pacers on Fox Sports Indiana, and you're listening to The Sports Rush with Brett Rump on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
Welcome back to The Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump along with Adam Lundy, our producer. Tonight we've got high school basketball. Got to get used to saying basketball after the football season just ended this past weekend. We've got Warsaw at Homestead at the beautiful new Homestead Gym. We'll start with pregame coverage sometime around 7:30, and then postgame will be at the Coventry Pizza Hut for our Parkview Sports Medicine postgame show. Join us tonight for high school basketball coverage on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Tomorrow night, championship football coverage. How about this? You know, it's like two Saturdays in a row we've had some championships decided here on this radio station. It was high school last weekend. It's Big Ten championship time coming up tomorrow. And to talk about it, we're joined by the voice of the Purdue Boilermakers, Tim Newton. Hey, Tim, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, Brett. How are you today? I'm
doing fantastic, and I'm sure you're doing quite well. Purdue ends up being the West representative. Some things had to fall into place. They did perfectly for the Boilermakers, and as a reward, they get to be a 17-point underdog to Michigan. Hey, you know, when you look at this matchup, though, all seriousness, this is a huge advantage to play indoors for the Purdue Boilermakers, because you look at the style of play, I'm sure Michigan would love to play this in inclement weather outdoors. But I think it's a big advantage for Purdue inside.
Oh, there's no question. I think the Boilermakers really struggled in November playing three of four games in really bad weather. I mean, last week's Bucky game was the best weather we'd had in a month. And, yeah, looking at the forecast tomorrow night, you'd be looking at wind chills in the teens or 20s, and I think certainly to Purdue's advantage, and frankly to our advantage as broadcasters, because it's awfully nice not to have to bundle up, and it'll be nice and air conditioned and heated and all that kind of stuff. And so the weather will not be a factor at all tomorrow.
Very climate controlled inside Lucas Oil Stadium. And so let's talk about the Boilermakers. And if you look at this, you think, okay, they've got to control the running game. So defensively for Purdue, who has to step up? What are the keys for the Boilermakers defensively against this Michigan offense?
Well, I think the biggest thing, and something Ohio State couldn't do last week, is you've got to stop the big plays. And Ohio State got hit for five plays of over 40 yards that resulted in touchdowns. Purdue's goal tomorrow night is to make Michigan have to work the ball down the field. So, you know, they won't have Blake Corum as a running back, but they will have Donovan Edwards, and he's probably just as good as Corum. They've got a great running quarterback in J.J. McCarthy. I think there's going to be a lot of onus on the linebackers tomorrow night because not only can Michigan run the ball, but they love to throw the ball to their tight end and to the running back. So you're going to have a lot of linebackers in coverage tomorrow. So it's going to be a challenge. It's a Michigan team that's in the top 10 nationally in scoring, close to 40 points a game. They just put 45 on the board in Columbus last week. So it's going to be a challenge. And I think in order for Purdue to pull off the upset, the defense is going to have to come away with a takeaway or two.
Sometimes when you play your 13th game of the season, there's a comp. There's a team that is similar or does similar things to your next opponent. Is there anybody on Purdue's schedule that would be something close to a comparable of Michigan?
You know, probably the closest would be Penn State. But I don't think they compare to, and we saw in the regular season, they got beaten pretty handily by Michigan. This is the best team Purdue's faced all year. And, you know, defensively, I think you look at Illinois and Iowa and Wisconsin, they're all very good defensive teams, but none of them have the offensive explosiveness that Michigan has. So I'm not sure, and you know, we didn't play Ohio State. That would probably be the only comp this
yeah.
year. This is the best team by far that Purdue's played this year.
Let's talk about this Purdue offense. Aiden O'Connell, obviously, a big key to it. I don't know if Purdue needs to run the football, but I do know they have to pass it effectively, and they're going to have to score points. You can't put pressure on your defense to shut down that Michigan offense. How do they score points? What do you expect from the Purdue offense?
Well, I mentioned the fact that Purdue can't give up big plays defensively. I think they're going to have to manufacture some big plays offensively. You're going to have to, whether it's a Charlie Jones down the field or Deion Burks, who we're waiting to get that big explosive touchdown this year. This Michigan defense is so good, it's hard to imagine getting a lot of 10, 12, 15 play drives against them. So I think Purdue's going to have to hit some big plays. You might see a trick or two. You know, we know that Jeff Brohm has a full playbook of trick plays, and if you're ever going to pull one out, this is probably the game to do it. But, you know, Aiden O'Connell, he's been on the stage before. You go back last year in the shootout we had down in Tennessee in the Music City Bowl, and he went toe to toe with Hendon Hooker, who wound up being a Heisman Trophy candidate this year. So, you know, you don't want to have to get into a shootout where you've got to match them score for score. But I do think the Boilermakers have the ability to put some points on the board tomorrow.
Can Purdue's offensive line control that defensive front of Michigan?
That's probably the biggest question mark going in. Purdue's offensive line has been good the second half of the season. Now they're playing without Gus Hartwig, who was injured in the Northwestern game. Josh Kaltenberger, I said, did a creditable job last week in the bucket game, but you know that Michigan will attack up front. This is the best front seven that Purdue's played against this year, and I think that's the key. They've got to keep Aiden O'Connell off the turf, and they've got to get just enough of a running game so that Michigan can't pin its ears back and come after Aiden every play.
Let's talk about going past this game as far as bowl opportunities for Purdue. What are you hearing? Win versus loss, where Purdue might end up?
Well, we have verified, although there was some back and forth on it earlier this week. If Purdue wins tomorrow night, they are the Big Ten champion and they go to the Rose Bowl,
okay.
Period. If they lose, you're probably looking, my guess is we'll probably wind up in the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl. In Orlando, which is played ordinarily on January 1st, but because that's on a Sunday this year, it'll be January 2nd. A possibility of Tampa, and I think an outside possibility of dropping down to Charlotte, although that's less likely now. A lot of things have to happen. It depends on, you know, if Ohio State winds up not going to the Rose Bowl and going to the New Year's Six, then the bowl in Tampa can take a non-Big Ten team. There are a lot of moving parts to this, but the bottom line is I expect a win. It's Pasadena. A loss, I believe it'll be Florida on January 2nd.
Tim, we look forward to the coverage coming up tomorrow right here at 1380 The Fan, 100.9 FM. Enjoy the opportunity. Go Boilers.
We'll do that. By the way, my daughter is one of the architects who's working on that Homestead High School project. So,
oh, really?
I'm familiar. I've seen a lot of drawings that she's and a lot of videos of that coming back from her over the last few months.
Wow, that's fantastic because, yeah, I had a chance to see it before its completion a couple of months ago. I got a tour, and tonight I get to actually go call a game there. So it'll be my first experience, and what I hear is it's not a huge facility, but very modern, very high-tech. So I look forward to seeing it and seeing, I guess, your daughter's work.
Well, I'll be glad to hear the scouting report on it. Let me know how it is.
Absolutely. Thanks, Tim. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Brett.
That is Tim Newton joining us on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. Yeah, I guess we'll give a scouting report on how she did with the architectural work.
That's kind of a cool way to continue the family sports tradition. You go from the dad calling games and stuff to the daughter designing arenas. Really cool.
Well, and of course he said project, which this project isn't just a gym at Homestead. It's an entire fine arts wing. And when they gave me the tour, I mean, it's fantastic. And the weight room, I mean, that would rival a Big Ten weight room. It's unbelievable out at Homestead. And you're really zeroing in on
I'm just reading a text. Someone said it's called Spartan Arena.
Spartan Arena. Okay.
There you go.
I didn't know it had a name. By the way, we talked about names, and Mark Davidson Court is now official at Blackhawk Christian. Great to hear. Wish it would have been done in the spring, but I'm very glad that Blackhawk did the right thing and got it done right away. First game this season to honor their former coach, Mark Davidson. 46862 is Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Speaking of college football, if you didn't hear the news, Drew Pine is transferring from Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And not playing.
Nope.
In the Notre Dame bowl game.
Yeah, we actually did get a text about this too, 46862. They said, Drew Pine actually did Notre Dame and their remaining quarterbacks a favor by opting out of the bowl game now. That gives Notre Dame and their quarterbacks a head start on both the bowl game and next season.
Maybe. Although the future quarterback for Notre Dame might not be on the roster right now if they go to the transfer portal to try to get him.
Yeah.
You know, the quarterback, I'm trying to think of his name, the one at Boston College, former Notre Dame guy that transferred to Boston College. He's now transferring from Boston College. Maybe they get him back at Notre Dame.
Phil Jurkovic.
Yeah. He was a former Notre Damer, I think, and then transferred to Boston College. I think he's been the Boston College quarterback for the last 2 or 3 years. And he's got 1 year of eligibility, a grad year, and he's going to take that somewhere else. He's announced that he is transferring. I don't know where Notre Dame goes to find that quarterback, but that's the whole situation behind Drew Pine transferring, is that Notre Dame's indicated to Drew Pine that they will go to the transfer portal and they'll have Tyler Buchner back. And the chances are Drew Pine would be third on the depth chart and have to earn his way up to get his to keep the starting spot. And Drew Pine, I think, feels like maybe he's earned it with an 8-2 record for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish this year. 46862 is Parkview Sports Medicine text line. 46862. Coming up tonight, as we said, we will be at Spartan Arena, Homestead High School, as the Homestead Spartans welcome the Warsaw Tigers. You know who's going to be here? Good buddy, Roger Grossman.
Oh.
He's the Warsaw play-by-play guy.
Gotcha.
Yep. And so Roger, he'll be there tonight.
Awesome. Hey, happy birthday to one of our biggest listeners out there, Ryan Eaton.
Really?
Yeah. It's his
Ryan's
birthday.
How did I not get a Facebook notice of Ryan Eaton's birthday?
I don't know. And even worse, I think he's actually already checked out for today on the show.
Well, he's got a birthday party to go to.
Exactly. But yeah, happy birthday to Ryan.
Ryan is one of the greatest local sports supporters that we have in Northeast Indiana. Yes. He listens to all the play-by-play games. He's always weighing in, listening to the state championships last week. He listens to Mastodon's games.
He's everywhere.
Yeah. Now, with our show, he actually is tweeting comments to our show in real time. So his Twitter feed, I mean, his post you couldn't make sense of it unless you knew what he was referring to. Like he'll say, yeah, I think that's a great idea. You know, something like that. He'll post it. Now, we know what it is because we're getting it in real time. But Ryan is fantastic, is stricken with cerebral palsy and is in a wheelchair. But we keep him company every day.
Oh, yeah.
And he loves listening to his sports. And we love having him as a loyal listener. And we had a great moment with Ryan. Last couple of seasons, he's been at Parkview Field. And we've been able to get him up to the press box to spend some time in the TV booth and the radio booth. And that has meant the world to Ryan Eaton. And it's been fun for us. You know, when you do something nice like that for someone, that it just and they're so appreciative of it. And so, man, I feel bad. I did not send him a happy birthday on Facebook because I never got the message that it was Ryan Eaton's birthday.
Oh, there's still plenty of time.
I'll wait for the next one. he actually is that I don't know what birthday it is. Does it say?
I don't know how old he's turning today, but yeah.
Wow. How did you find out?
Facebook.
How did it not tell me?
I don't know.
You know, Facebook only tells you what it thinks you want to know, and apparently it thinks I didn't want to know that it's Ryan's birthday, and I'm very heartbroken that I didn't know. But if you're listening, Ryan, happy birthday. And I apologize, I didn't get a Facebook message to you. 46862 is Parkview Sports Medicine text line.
Oh, I know where he's at. He is heading out to a tractor pulling banquet.
Really, for his birthday?
Yeah.
I guess he's got a treat. Got something to look forward to.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk a little Colts football, college basketball, and it's time to announce the winner of our seats at the Big Ten Championship game with Purdue versus Michigan. We'll tell you who our winner is coming up in minutes right here on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.